Well, I'm so happy, because at last, there is something where Christians and the world totally agree. Yay, at last. At last. We agree with the world that racism is wrong. We totally agree with the world. And everywhere, all over the world, here in Australia, everywhere, efforts are being made to tackle the scourge of racism. And us Christians are going to jump up and shout, hooray! We are against racism. We want to support any effort to stamp out racism. But here's where the world and biblical Christianity are different. We have got a reason to reject racism. We know why we reject racism. Think, if you take God out of the picture, here's a genuine question, why is racism wrong? Why? Think about it, think about it. Every child in Australia, in every school, is taught that the world is a closed system. There's nothing supernatural. The world is a closed system. All there is nature and biology. And nature is governed by one law, survival of the fittest. So when nature gives you an advantage, you use that advantage to exploit others, to overcome others. Why? So that you can survive and you can pass on your DNA. Isn't that how it all works? And so when you're sitting in a picture classroom and you're a student and you put up your hand, if you're brave enough, and you say, sir, why is racism wrong? What answer are you going to get? You're not going to get an answer because there is no answer. In fact, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get a label. Because our society, because they can't think, what they do is instead of thinking and giving an answer, they use labels. And so all you have to do is call someone, oh, well, you're just a racist. Oh, well, you're just a fundamentalist. Oh, well, you're just bigoted. There, boom, end of argument. You haven't given me a reason. But hey, who wants to be labeled? And so the student puts down her hand, stops thinking, and toes the line. And that's how our society works. But biblical Christians want to think. We want to ask questions. We want to know why. We want to examine the world we live in. And Christians, biblical Christians, have got excellent reasons why racism is wrong. Why? Well, because there is a superior being. There is one superior being, and that one superior being made a man and a woman, one man, one woman, and every single race on earth is descended from that one man and one woman. More than that, that one being made us in his image. Everyone. And that means every single human being has dignity, value, that you can never take away from them because you didn't give it to them. God gave it to them. Not only that, that same being, God, tells us, he commands us to love each other and serve each other, and honor each other, and show everyone proper respect. Every race is equal. But that doesn't mean we're all the same. And this is where the secular world starts foaming at the mouth. Because unthinking, liberal, secular people think that when you say something is different, it means it's not equal. And that's not true. Things can be different and still equal. For example, man and woman, husband and wife. Another beautiful invention by God. Men and women are absolutely equal in intellect, in value, in honor, in dignity, but they're different. You can't just interchange them. It's a beautiful design by God. And secular liberal people try to break down those differences and say, no. We're the same. You're not the same. It's not okay for a man to wear woman's clothes. You can't interchange them. You can't decide on Tuesday you're a girl, Wednesday you're a boy, and Tuesday you're a girl again. We're different. God made us different. Equal, but different. And the real, why did God do that? Because he made us to love and serve each other, compliment each other, honor each other. Let's just tell the truth. God loves diversity. Just look at the world. God loves diversity. And in humility, we're meant to rejoice in our differences. Not try and whitewash or blackwash, but rejoice in our differences. And in humility, serve each other. It's so obvious we're different. When last did a white man win the 100 meters gold sprint in the Olympics? But when last did a black man win a gold medal in swimming? And if you play basketball, you know white men can't jump. Everyone knows that, you know? But it's beautiful. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something to rejoice in. Now, we're equal, but different. Why the long story, Dwayne? What's going on here? Listen, because in history, God gave something very special to one race. He gave something to one race that he didn't give to any other race. He gave them an advantage. But they were meant to take that advantage and serve other races and teach other races and be an example to other races. But they rejected their advantage. They all turned from God, and God judged them for it. At the right time, one man was born. One of their race, only one, was born. And this man was utterly perfect. One of their race, only one, was perfect. And this one man did what the whole race was meant to do. And through that one man now, God loves and serves the world. The man I'm talking about is the Jewish man, Jesus. The race I'm talking about is the Jewish race. Our passage is all about the Jewish race. And God gave them an incredible advantage, which I'm going to show you in our passage. But what we're going to see is that even though every race is different, and the Jewish people had an advantage that made them different, what we're going to see in our passage is actually, when it comes to God's judgment, we are totally equal. Race is irrelevant. When it comes to judgment, race is irrelevant. Why? Because we're equal, equally guilty before God. Look at verse 17. Look what Paul says in verse 17. But if you call yourself a Jew, wow. So what he's been doing up to now, you've been coming to this church for a couple of weeks, you will know that Paul has been showing us that God is right and fair to judge every single one of us. And he's been talking generally. Now he's going to focus on the Jew. And by the way, talking about judgment, oh my goodness, does this church ever get happy? Well, I want to tell you, we are looking at the book of Romans. And the first couple of chapters deal with judgment. And so we're just being honest by teaching what is there. And if you want to be upset about judgment, you're welcome to go home and tear out those pages and just get to the happy parts. But we'll get to the happy parts. But we are dealing with what the Bible says. Next week is the end of judgment. Not judgment day, the end of judgment. And I hope you come back, even though you've heard a lot about judgment. Here's why. Because next week, up on the screen, I'm going to give you a, well, you know, you judge for yourself. I think a very helpful table that'll summarize everything we've seen for the past 4 weeks. But in any event, here we are. Paul has been speaking about every one of us being under God's judgment. And while he's doing that, you can imagine standing next to Paul is a Jewish person. And as he stands next to Paul, and Paul's going, you, and you, and you, and we're all under judgment. Picture the Jewish person. What's the Jewish person doing? Here's what he's doing. He's standing next to Paul and he's going, you tell them, Paul. You tell them. You know, you, amen, brother. Preach it, brother. And he's going, oh, they are wicked, sinful Gentiles. Now, notice Paul's response. He doesn't go, oh, well, Levi, you know, don't be so hard on them. They're not that bad. You know, they're he doesn't do that. They are that bad. He doesn't downplay it at all. They are that bad. But here's what Paul does. By the way, Paul is pure blood Jewish. He's a rabbi. So he knows what he's talking about. Here's what Paul does. He turns to Levi, and here's what he does. But Levi, you're just as guilty as they are. You're just as guilty as they are. When it comes to God's judgment, race is irrelevant. You're the same. We're not the same. In terms of who we're different, but we're equal. Equally under God's judgment. And for two reasons. For two reasons. And here they are. Here's the first one. The Jewish people had God's law. That's an advantage. But they didn't keep it. So have a look with me at verse 17. But if you call yourself a Jew, and you rely on the law, and you boast in God, and you know his will, and you approve what is excellent, because you're instructed from the law. And if you're sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, and a light to those in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of the children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. Oh my goodness! Paul's saying you had such an advantage. You had the law. You know, look at all that. Look at all those people. Look at those Australians and look at those South Africans. You know, clueless. Don't know who God is. Don't know why they exist. Don't know what's wrong with the world. But you Jews, you had the law. You had such an advantage to them. But what does Spider-Man teach us? With great power comes great responsibility. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. And look what it says. Verse 19. If you have the law, are you sure you're a guide to the blind? A light to those in darkness? An instructor of the foolish? A teacher? What were you meant to do with the law? You were meant to teach it. You were meant to share it. You were meant to exemplify it. Oh, that's a wrong use of that word. You were meant to be an example of it. Whoever has God's word, major advantage. You've got a responsibility to serve the world, to share it, to care for the world, to show them a better way. But the Jewish advantage proved useless because they didn't keep the law. Look at how it carries on. Verse 21. You then, who teach others, do not teach yourself. While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one mustn't commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Nothing puts people more off Jesus than Christians. That's what Paul is saying to the Jewish people. You sinned. You broke the law. You had an advantage, but you didn't keep your advantage. And if you read the Old Testament, the constant refrain is that the Jewish people wanted to be like everybody else. They didn't want to be different. I want to be like everybody else. Having God's word, knowing God's word, is no advantage if you don't keep it, if you don't obey it. Now, just before you think I'm being racist and picking on Jewish people, look at the screen. The Jewish people had God's law but didn't keep it. And neither do we. We're equal. Different, but equal. Neither do we. At North Coast Church, we have expository Bible teaching. We're going through the book of Romans. You should see that mob over there. They just mangle the Bible. Oh, horrible. They get the Bible all wrong. We've got our doctrine sorted. That's a huge advantage. But do we obey it? Do we live it? We who know the truth, does that truth shape our lives? Does it? You know, Dwayne, I grew up as a Christian. My mum taught me about Jesus since I was yay high. I went to Sunday school, got a badge. Went to youth, got another badge. Went to church, got another badge. Got all the badges. Wow, you've had such an advantage over millions of other Australians. You've got such an advantage. Does your life show it? Can your non-Christian friends see your advantage? Do they look at you and go, wow, your life is so amazing. You're always joyful. You never worry. You're kind. You're caring. You're just patient with everyone. Is that true of you? Do they say that about you at work? Or having God's word, knowing the truth, do you become judgmental? I always tell the story. I went to a horrible place once. It's called Sydney. And I was driving past this little church, and they had this big billboard sign on a very busy road. And it said this: righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Now, why would you put that up on the... It's true, but why would... And why would you use Old English? As I drove past, I could smell it. You can just smell the judgmentalism. They're angry with the world. They can't wait for God to come and zap the baddies. Is that what the word does for you? This weekend in Australia, we had our national disgrace, the Sydney Mardi Gras. When you looked at it, did you hate on them? Or did you weep because they're so broken and so lost? Or did you pray? Did you pray like the disciples? Oh God, rain down fire now. Or did you pray for mercy that they would be saved and turn from their atrocities? The Jewish people squandered their advantage. They didn't keep the law, but we are just as guilty as them. Look at what it says here in the book of James to Christians. James is another Jew, by the way. James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Stop lying to yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. And for he looks at himself, goes away, and at once forgets what he looks like. I used to take great comfort from that verse, you know, forgetting what I looked like. But that's not what it's about. It's saying don't deceive yourselves. Don't forget who you are as a Christian. Second reason why the Jewish people are in big trouble. First of all, they had God's law. They didn't keep it. Neither do we. Secondly, the Jewish people had God's covenant, but they weren't faithful to it. The most special thing about the Jewish people is that God made a covenant with them. Now, you know what a covenant is? A covenant is a formal, intimate, binding relationship between two parties. It's very deep, it's very relational, and it's very binding. That's what it's like marriage. Marriage is a covenant, same thing. Now, the sign of a marriage, look at my finger, wrong one. A sign of a marriage is a ring. The sign of the Jewish covenant between God and Israel was circumcision. A contract requires performance, but a covenant requires faithful, loving loyalty to a person, just like marriage. And the Jewish people broke the covenant. They cheated on God. Look with me at verse 25. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. You might as well throw your wedding ring away. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you, Mr. Jew, who have the written code and circumcision but break the law. It's heavy. But here's what Paul, the circumcised Jew, says. He says, if you don't keep the covenant, you are not Jewish. You are no longer Jewish. Oh, that's a heavy thing to say. But who decides who is a Jew and who isn't? Do I self-define or does God define me? Well, look at verse 28. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. There's a pun there. The word Jew is a contraction of the word Judah, and the word Judah means praise. And so in verse 29, Paul is saying, you can call yourself a Jew, and man can call you a Jew, but it is God who decides who is a real Jew. Now, at this point, you might be a newcomer to North Coast Church. I'm going to invite you to doze off. Because the next 3 minutes, 26 and a half seconds, I'm going to address an issue that worries Christians. And I'm going to help you by looking at this passage. Listen carefully. There is this idea out there that it doesn't matter what you believe. If you are Jewish, you're special. There's a state on the right-hand side of the Mediterranean called Israel. And Israel is special to God, doesn't matter what they believe. They're still God's people. That is a mistake. You are thinking that because you're not reading the Bible carefully enough. A Jew, in God's eyes, is someone who keeps the covenant. If you don't keep the covenant, you're not a Jew. If you don't keep the covenant, you're not an Israelite. Look at what it says. Look at verse 28. No one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, Nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly. Circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit. You have to be born again by the Spirit before you become a Jew or an Israelite. His praise is not from man, but from God. Well, hold on, Dwayne. Hold on. Hold on. Are you saying that Israel under Benjamin Netanyahu is not Israel? Yes. But hold on, Dwayne. They're circumcised. But the Bible says that doesn't matter. Okay. Yes, but they call themselves Israel. Well, look at verse 17. But if you call yourself, it doesn't matter what you call yourself. It doesn't make you that. Okay, yes, Dwayne. I got you here. But if you go to their mantelpiece, you'll see a tree. And if you follow that tree, you know, your genetic tree, whom I descended from, you will see they're descendants of Abraham. Again, that doesn't make you Jewish. Listen to Romans. Here's a verse for you from Romans 9. Not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. And not all children of Abraham are children of Abraham because they're his offspring. God defines what is a Jew. God defines what is Israel. We're not there yet, but let me say this. The nation state of Israel is no more special to God than the kingdom of Lesotho or Botswana or Australia. But in case you think I'm being hard on the Jewish people, look at the next point. Neither are we. The Jewish people had God's covenant, but they weren't faithful to it. Neither are we. Here's the truth. We are all under judgment equally, both the Jew and the Gentile. Here's why. Because we owe God absolute allegiance. It's not just the Jews who have a covenant with God, and they had a special one, that is true. But creation is an act of covenant. And when God created us, we belong to him. We owe everything to him. All of us, no matter what race you belong to. You know why? Because you're not an accident. You're not an accident. You were created specifically and purposefully for a relationship with God. And in his loving care, he's keeping up the end of the relationship, his end of the relationship. Oh yeah. He gave you planet Earth. You may have noticed. It's pretty conducive to life. He feeds us. Last week, he gave us rain just when we needed it. He cares for us. He shelters us. He provides for us. It is impossible every second of every minute of every day to add up all the ways God is kind, loving, and patient to us. If you don't believe me, just stop breathing. But we all cheat on him. As faithful as God is to us, is as unfaithful as we are to him. We cheat on him. We turn from loving God and we seek joy and fulfillment in other things. And we love ourselves more than him. You know what I was thinking? I suddenly thought of this. If we treated, I don't know if you're married or not. If you're here this morning, you're married. If you treated your husband or your wife the way you treated God, I think your marriage would be in big trouble. Just think, how often do you talk to God? How often do you talk to your spouse? Or what about listening? How much do you listen to your husband and wife? How much do you listen to God? I would never dare disobey my wife. I am far too afraid of the consequences. But oh my goodness, when God's not looking, I disobey him every now and then. We love and serve the creature more than the creator. We think girls are more beautiful than Jesus Christ. We think our money keeps us safe when it is God who cares for us. We think the right to choose is more important than the privilege to obey. And so we've all broken his covenant. We're all unfaithful, Jew and Gentile, different, but the same, equally guilty before God. So what must God do with every single human being on earth? Doesn't matter what your race. Have a look at this. God is faithful. He's not going to change. And he's just to judge everyone. And that's what our passage teaches. God is faithful and just to judge. Faithful because he promised he would. Just because it's fair. But this raises a question. And I wonder if you're still thinking about what I said about Israel and Jews. But hold on, Dwayne, hold on. If some Jews don't get saved, what about all the promises God made? You read the Old Testament. They are full of promises. What about those promises? Don't those promises call God's faithfulness into question if some Jews don't get saved? And bear in mind, many Jews were saved. Your whole New Testament is written by Jews. Well, no. No. Here's why. Because in the Old Testament, God didn't just promise to save. In the Old Testament, God promised to judge as well. And therefore, when God saves, he's being faithful to his promises. But when God judges, he's being faithful to his promises also. Heaven is all about God's faithfulness. Hell is all about God's faithfulness because he keeps his promises. Look with me at chapter 2, 1 to 4. No, I said it this morning as well. Chapter 3, 1 to 4. I'm not good with numbers. Have a look at chapter 3, verse 1. Then what advantage has the Jew? Or what is the value of the covenant of circumcision? Much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What a massive advantage. They had a little box. It was called the Ark. And they carried it wherever they went. The words of the living God. No other race had that. Massive advantage. Huge. Yes, verse 3. But what if some were unfaithful? What happens if some Jews didn't obey the law or didn't obey the covenant? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? God promised the Jews were special. Some break the covenant. Doesn't that mean he has to save them anyway? No. Verse 4, by no means. Let God be true. Everyone were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. What Paul is saying is when God judges the Jewish people, he's being just as faithful because he promised he would if you break the covenant. God is always faithful and always just to judge every one of us, whether Jew or Gentile. You know, when you punish a child, or when you bust a child, it's so fun. But it's so fun to watch that little mind start working. All my children turn into lawyers when they get bust. And what they do is they start to justify. What is your mind? What is your mind? Your mind is a factory of self-justification. And that's what everyone, not just children, that's what adults do as well. And so here comes the most wonderful justification. And verse 5 to verse 9, Paul's going to deal with it. Simply this. Hold on, Dwayne. I see a gap. Always take a gap. If I sin, God is going to judge me. And if God judges me, that means he's faithful. So why don't I keep sinning? Because the more I sin, the more faithful God is, right? And therefore he gets the glory. And we win. I get to sin, he gets the glory. This is awesome. Well, watch what Paul deals with this. Verse 5, but if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what shall we say? that God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us? I'm speaking in a human way. By no means. For then how could God judge the world? But if through my lie, God's truth abounds to his glory, why am I still being condemned as a sinner? Why not do evil that good may come, as some people slanderously charge us with saying? You know what? At this church, because we preach that you are saved by grace alone, only, we constantly get people saying, oh, well, then I can do whatever I want. It's the same thinking. And Paul says, never. You're out of your mind. That's like saying, because Israel is Israel and call themselves Israel, doesn't matter if they reject God, they're still special to him. Never, says Paul, never. Look what he says at the end of verse 8. I'm not even going to deal with it. He says, their condemnation is just. You know, there are some people you just can't reach. You can't reason with a sinner. You can't reason with a rebellious child. What's the conclusion for this morning? Look at verse 9. So what are we saying? Are we Jews any better off? No. Not at all. I can't believe it. This morning I preached the sermon. Straight away people came to me saying, no, Israel is special. I don't know how to read English. Look what it says. Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. It says it so clearly. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. Now, if I closed off there, I think you should find another church. Because that's all that this passage says. But there's more. And later on in Romans, we'll come to it. But I can't resist not sending you home to cry over your duck à l'orange. I have to tell you the good news. Here's the good news. There is one race that won't get judged. It's a brand new race. You weren't born into this race. It's a brand new race. It's got Jews in it, and Gentiles, and Zulu people, and Australians, and Chinese. It's a brand new race in the man, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 tells us that God is creating one new race in Jesus Christ. That's the only race that matters. Here's why. Look at this closely. God, go back. God is faithful and just to judge everyone. Well, those two words are used very carefully in the Bible. Have a look at this. The blood, 1 John 1, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, ooh, there's the two words. He is faithful and just. Can you see God can't change? Always faithful, always just. But there's a massive change. Look, he isn't faithful and just to judge us. Oh my goodness. He is faithful and just to forgive us. How? Why is God faithful to forgive us? Because people, everything that Jesus did for his people. Think about the two points. The Jews had the law of God, but they didn't keep it. I know a Jew who did. His name was Jesus. He perfectly kept God's law. Ah, but the Jews had God's covenant and they broke it. But there was one Jew who had the covenant and perfectly kept it. And therefore, when you trust in Jesus, he gives all of that to you. Dwayne, why do you think you get heaven? Dwayne, why do you think you deserve heaven? I don't. There is one who earned it for me. There is one who deserved it for me. His name is Jesus. God is faithful to forgive us. But not only that, God is just to forgive us. How do you put justice and forgiveness in the same universe? The answer is because Jesus didn't just keep both those things. He died on the cross. He took God's judgment. He took the punishment that I so richly worked. I've worked very hard on being punished. And he took it for me. He died on the cross in my place. Therefore, God is just to forgive me because my penalty's been paid. Jesus died on the cross for me. Look at the last slide. Look at the power of the gospel of Jesus. God is faithful and just to forgive any race, whoever comes to Jesus. Whereas we've learned God is faithful and just to judge every race, the power of the gospel is that God stays the same, faithful and just, but through Jesus Christ, he now forgives every race. No. Only those who come to Jesus. Only those who cling to Jesus.